Well, here we are again, the day before Christmas. Another year has flown by. Who loves Christmas? Yeah, I do. I do. I love it. And I love it because many years ago, the Lord spoke to me about what I want to speak to you about today. And so for many people, Christmas is, you know, lights and Santa. A dear old brother in Christ down south used to call Santa Satan Claus. And presents and trees and commercialism. And it's sad because the true meaning of Christmas is what we're talking about this morning, right? The true meaning of Christmas is why we're here this morning, to worship our great God. Amen? And so the focus for me this morning is to celebrate the birth of Messiah. And so I want to share with you about Emmanuel, this beautiful name, Emmanuel. And as I said many years ago, the Lord showed me the true meaning of this word. And we were down in South Otago, and so it's about 20 years ago. And I had such a revelation about this word, Emmanuel, and I was so excited about it. And I was asked to preach in a little South Otago church in a little town called Clinton, which probably most of you haven't even heard of, a little Presbyterian church in Clinton, South Otago. Has somebody heard of Clinton? Oh, look at that, a few. It's a neat little place. Anyway, this was a little Presbyterian church and a good old school church. And it was a funny old thing, particularly in that church. The people would come in, and everybody would jam into the last three pews down the back of the church. And the closer you got to the front, the thinner the crowd got. It was real funny. So I got cheeky that morning and said, right, everybody stand up, move to the front. And there was a great deal of shuffling and embarrassed looks and uncomfortableness. But actually, some of them did. Some of them did. Anyway, I was so excited about this message because I wanted to share the excitement that the Lord had given me about Emmanuel, and I preached, and I won't say they were doing cartwheels of excitement afterwards, but it was a great morning anyway, and so I want to share with you this morning, not the same message, but I'm still excited. 20 years later, I'm still excited about the full meaning of this word, Emmanuel. So I want to read to you from the scripture, first of all, from Matthew chapter 1. If you have your Bible with you, open up to Matthew chapter 1. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Starting partway through verse 20, where it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, that is Joseph, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, Emmanuel. At this time of year, believers all around the world celebrate the entry into the world of Messiah as God's chosen one. And rightly so, because this event was and is the most significant event for humankind in the history of the world. And I don't think that's overstating it. It meant the coming of God, the Most High God, into this world to ultimately die on a cross for the sins of the world. And the thing that amazes me about this is the entrance of God into this world as a man. We believe and we know that God is all-knowing. He's everywhere all at once. He is powerful beyond measure. He created all things from nothing. He measures our days. He rules all nations. He is completely all-loving. He is completely good. He is gracious and forgiving and compassionate. He is a consuming fire. He is 100% just and wise and incorruptible and holy. He is faithful and he is eternal, the uncreated creator. And that is far from a complete list of the attributes of our great God. God the Father is so far above us that he is invisible. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, as the prophet Isaiah said. In fact, he says in the next verse of chapter 55, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I was reading the other day in Revelation, John got a glimpse into heaven. How amazing would that have been? And he saw the throne of God. All he could say was that there was one sitting on the throne, and he was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow all around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And lightning and thunder came out from the throne. The sight was so awe-inspiring, so mind-blowing, so frightening, so beautiful, that the only way that he could describe it in terms that he and us could understand was in terms of outstanding beauty of precious stones and the magnificence of the rainbow and the power of a thunderstorm. That's our God. That's our God. He just couldn't describe it. So the question is, how in the world can any of us relate to such an almighty, all-powerful, mighty creator God? How can we relate to him? In the first place, our praise goes to him because all the initiative is from God. We all of us, whether we admit it or not, we all have a God-shaped gap in our lives, in our hearts. And we all fill it with something. Some fill it with relationships. Some fill it with self. Many fill it with money and possessions. And it grieves me to say even many that call themselves followers of Christ fill it with those things. Many with other gods, but we all have a yearning for something beyond ourselves. All of us have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. But God says that he knows us intimately. After all, he allowed us all to come into being, didn't he? In Jeremiah 23, verse 24, he says, am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? God knows us, whether we know it or not, he knows us intimately, and we cannot hide anywhere from his presence. So how has this great God, who knows us better than we know ourselves, made it so that we can relate to him? The answer came as a little baby to be born in the nation of Israel, who had humble, faithful Jewish parents. And the key point in human history, that baby came as a connection between us and Almighty God. Emmanuel, God with us. Ponder on those words for a while. Literally, that word means with us is God. Bear meditates on, doesn't it? We should meditate on that word. God with us. With us is God. Do you find that an amazing thing? I do. And that's what got me excited 20-odd years ago. To know this God and to know that he is with us in this place. Emmanuel, the great God of heaven and earth, is with us in this place. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him that this baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, a miraculous conception, and Joseph was to call him Jesus. Jesus comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, and it means God saves, Savior, yes. Jesus means Savior. There is so much that could be said about the significance of names in Hebrew culture. But this name is the most significant name in the history of the world. The name above all names. The Savior of the world was born in a little town in Israel on the southern outskirts of Jerusalem, which is still there today, a town called Bethlehem. Why, I pondered, wasn't Jesus born in a palace to rich parents, rich ruling parents? Why? Because then Mr. and Mrs. Joe Average, like me and like you, could never relate to him. And so he was born in a stable, of all places, to a humble carpenter and his young wife. A remarkable thing when you ponder on it. We read this story every year and we have the Christmas story, but to ponder on the fact that our God came down to heaven as a baby and was born in a manger because there was no room to stay for his parents at the inn, it's remarkable. What a God. Every year we celebrate Christmas, the first advent of the Savior of the world. But it amazes me more and more the older I get that this great God we worship came into the world as a helpless baby. Astonishing and utterly unique. What other religion can you think of who worships a God who is at the same time glorious and mighty, but also stoops down to come into our world, to come into our midst as a man, to show us how we can be saved from our corrupt ways? What other religion is there? Not animism. Animism has gods of the trees and the rocks and the rivers and the mountains. But there's no hope in those gods. They're just there and they cause people to be fearful and to bow before them, but they don't do anything for their salvation. Not Buddhism. Buddhism technically doesn't even have a god. But people bow down to Buddha, and I've seen that many times in Laos and Thailand. But there's no hope in Buddha. Even Gautama Buddha himself said, "Don't worship me, I'm not a god." Not Hinduism. Hinduism has millions of gods. There's no hope in any of those gods, not one. Not one of them offers salvation. Not one of them offers forgiveness for sins. Not one of them offers hope or joy or peace. Not Islam, whose God is not loving, and in fact whose God says God doesn't have a son. And all you have to do in Islam is be a good person and try and please that God, so maybe you'll get into paradise. Even Judaism, who have the true living God of the Torah, but they're still waiting for his representative, the Messiah, to come into the world to save them. The Jewish expectation of Messiah was that he would be the king of the Jews, a great political leader who would defeat their enemies and bring in a golden era of peace and prosperity. And so he will, but that is still future. By the way, many Jewish people are longing for this to be fulfilled in their current period of conflict. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Their true peace is the same as ours, the Prince of Peace, the Messiah. He is the only peace that Jerusalem will ever know. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Nevin asked a few weeks ago, why did Jesus have to come into the world? And there were different answers given. The key answer is found in 1 John verses 5 and 8, which says that he appeared to take away sins and to destroy the works of the devil. But also the coming of our beloved Jesus was in God's amazing plan to save us right from the very beginning in Genesis. He promised that there would be one who would come who would bruise the head of Satan, and he would be bruised on the heel. Right in the beginning, God promised there was always hope in God's plan for his people. The coming of our beloved Jesus was totally in God's amazing plan to save us and was prophesied in great detail hundreds of years before it ever happened. For example, in Isaiah 7, verse 14, the prophet, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. It amazes me that that prophecy was given 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Dead accurate. Micah also prophesied about the same amount of years, about 700 years before Jesus was born. He said in chapter 5 of verse 2 of Micah, as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. And this prophecy goes on to talk about the future reign of the Messiah. Another example in Isaiah 9 verse 6 and 7 says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Again, a prophecy given 700 years before Jesus was even born, and even more remarkable in that it talks about not only Jesus coming as a baby, but Jesus coming a second time to be a mighty king who will rule forever. And we look forward to that day, don't we? When Jesus will come again. And I believe it soon. Praise his holy name. Jesus is a fulfillment of prophecy. Very accurate prophecy. The full name of Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, because that signifies deity. Jesus is God. Jesus means Savior. He came to save us from our sins. Christ, or Messiah, means anointed one, the perfect, one and only, chosen one of God. Do you know what the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy yet to come is? That he is coming again, not as a baby, but as a conquering king, as the son of David. When he came as a baby, he came as the son of Joseph. When he comes again, maybe very soon, he's coming as the son of David. Let me read to you, in fact, a beautiful passage from Revelation chapter 21. You don't have to turn to it. Just listen to these couple of verses. In Revelation 21, I love these verses. Verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain." Isn't that beautiful? And that's what we have to look forward to. The ultimate fulfillment of our Lord Jesus Christ coming is that he will come again in glory and in power as a conquering king. In the meantime, we have the beautiful hope of Christmas within us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so as you do whatever you do tomorrow, whether it's a quiet day or whether it's a big day with whānau, whatever you do tomorrow, I encourage you to give some space to reflect on Emmanuel, God with us, to pray, to worship him, to thank him for giving us this great miracle of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, thank you for the miracle of Christmas. Thank you for the fullness of the meaning that you give around this time. Lord, for us as followers of Jesus Christ, may we be impacted by your presence, by your power, by your imminence, by the fact that you are with us, by your Spirit. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you are gracious and loving towards us. We thank you for our precious Lord Jesus coming to an obscure little village in Israel to set us all free from sin and death forever. What a God. What a God. We worship you. We praise you this morning. We lift up your holy name. We thank you that you are indeed the complete package, the one and only true living God, above whom there is no other, through whom there is no salvation apart from you. We worship you and thank you for this special time of the year when we can think especially of the birth of our Saviour, and we can celebrate that, and we can have joy and peace in our hearts because of what you've done for us. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.